Smiling Faces, the podcast, is a proud member of the Defiantly Me Productions. To learn more about Defiantly Me Productions, visit Instagram at Defiantly Me Productions.
Look, I'm as woo-woo as the next girl. I got my crystals on my windowsill. Like, I've got my incense. I smudge my vagina. Like, listen, I get it.
Yeah, you do.
But come on. Welcome back to episode 17 of Smiling Faces, the podcast. I'm Victoria Dunn.
And I'm Jess Anguiano, and we are the executive producers of Smiling Faces, our hit TV show about two girls who discover they are dating the same guy while working at a toxically positive spin studio.
On this podcast, we provide you with unfiltered conversations about dating, heartbreak, revenge, and living your best life.
And I have to say, best life status is, it's rocky for, well, some of us. I know poor Mike is in a new location today.
Yeah, life came at you fast, my dude.
That's what happens when you live in an old building. So it happens. We're the only unit in our apartment that the power went out for, and they have to rewire the whole apartment. So we are currently in a hotel room. My dog, my cat, and Lucy, we're all here. So, fun stuff. You know what? It is what it is at this point. EIP. Everything is perfect.
Aww, oh, that's lovely.
Oh, yeah. Hey. That little gym came from the Clarks. That came from my people, the Clarks. The Amazing Clarks, they taught me EIP. Yeah. The universe is always working in your favor, EIP.
I love that.
Beautiful, I love that we're launching... Yeah, we're launching into the first segment of our podcast talking about everything is perfect. Like, we are exactly where we're supposed to be. And little plug for the Clarks. The Amazing Clarks is a podcast that Mike produces with Defiantly Me Productions, correct?
No, not with me. No, this is me and Crystal, but it's called Love the Amazing Clarks. I do produce it, but it's not with Defiantly Me. So you guys are, it's you and the homework. You guys are it for right now.
Oh, but, we're exclusive. Got it.
You guys are
Mike,
exclusive. Yes.
You should have told us we were going to be exclusive.
I didn't know we're going steady, Mike.
No. He made it official.
Right? No ring, though.
Oh, sorry. The way my bank account is set up.
Not you consistently getting the milk for free.
The way my bank account is set up. That's the new, that's anytime that somebody's like, hey, you owe us. The way my bank account is set up, I cannot make that payment today. Thank you. Right. Have a great day.
No, I'm so sorry.
In the new year.
Every time I get an email from Wells Fargo, my butthole is just like, no, what is it?
Like, please. Fee.
I know. I'm like, please just tell me that you're just sending me a statement to be like, just FYI, this is what's going on. I don't want to hear shit else from you.
Listen, I cannot tell you how beautiful using USAA is. It's the one gift that my ex-husband left me in the divorce is that I have one of the best banks in the world. We don't deal with overdraft fees. They call and check on me. They're like, how you doing? We heard there's some fires. You okay? I'm like, is my bank calling me? They're like, if you need help, we're at the Ace Hardware. We're accepting claims. I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, we don't have any claims. We're doing good. Yeah. Also, if you'd like to increase your coverage on your rental insurance, please let us know.
There it is.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
No, I will say First Entertainment, I do like, because I have a side account with them for the production company. And I know during the strikes and during the fires and everything, they send out updates of if you're going through economic struggles or anything like that, just know that we're here for you. And we have different things set up to help you with financial planning or debt relief and blah, blah. So I will say First Entertainment is also top notch.
You cannot go wrong with a good credit union. I'm glad that you are locked in with one. If you're in with a good credit union, hang on to those credit unions. These are trying times.
Yes. They definitely are.
as Mike will tell you, as if like LA fires weren't enough. Now having to live that sweet, sweet hotel life. I'm glad you're out though. When I was 3 years old, my house burned down due to faulty electrical wiring. And I'll tell you what, that is not a life. You'd rather get ahead of that. That's not a lifestyle you want to live.
Yeah. Like that's the EIP of it all. Like realize that we needed to be out and that it was dangerous for us to be there. And this is what was needed. So we're just kind of, it sucks, but you know, it is what it is.
EIP is such a great, it's such a great attitude to have, especially as Victoria and I now have been working on Smiling Faces and Mike has joined now in the past couple of months for over about a year and a half now that Victoria and I have partnered up on this. And it's hard because it's slow going and we've had the economy has hit hard with trying to get the pilot shot. We've gone through ups and downs of having a big name attached and then having the schedule change and having to find another different name to attach to it and different kind of financials. And then also the hardship of both she and I lost our jobs kind of like around the same time last year. So when you come in and say EIP, everything is perfect. This is exactly where we're supposed to be in the universe right now. I like that for the setup of where we're at right now with the podcast and with the television show. Because we could spend a lot of time sitting here being like, why haven't I? We haven't finished it. We haven't shot it. And the truth is it's not ready to be shot yet. Everything is perfect. We're just lining up the team, lining up the community so that when it's time to go, it comes easy.
Exactly. Because I feel, one, I get very antsy for sure. But I also have to remind myself, it's not the kind of thing I want to rush. Obviously, I want a sense of urgency and get everything together, but I don't just want to slap it together just to say I did it, which I think sometimes the conversation then circles back to that sometimes when I'm talking about it with people and they go, well, I mean, it depends on what you want with it. Do you just want to have something shot? Because you can just shoot it in segments for TikTok. And I went, you're not hearing my vision and I can't have this conversation. I don't want it in broken up segments on TikTok. I want it to be a full-blown pilot.
Correct.
So and unfortunately, that's going to take some time.
We temperature check all the time on that where we say, okay, do we want to finish the project or do we want to finish it the way we dream of finishing it? Because we can finish the project. We can get our friends together on the weekends. We can pick up a camera, rent it out for a couple $100 and shoot this thing over like 4 weekends. However, it won't be the way we dream it.
Right. Although I did see a really interesting plan. This is more so for short films, but there is an account. Anyone who is in the process of indie filmmaking at all should follow it. Her account is Show Run Her instead of Showrunner. Amazing information, but she currently has a challenge up on her Instagram right now of shooting a short film on Saturdays. And she wrote out the plan. Like the first Saturday, you're doing all the planning and stuff of it. And then you have a 4-day shoot only on Saturdays. The first Saturday is your principal photography. The second Saturday is like a heavy scene. Then the remaining two Saturdays are kind of like the lighter and like pickup shoots. And then the following Saturday is starting to like edit and do ADR. And she really mapped out how every Saturday, if you just spend a couple months on Saturdays, you could knock it out and have your project done. If you're doing a simpler short film. And I think seeing intangible little bites like that sometimes helps because it feels so overpowering and sometimes insurmountable, I think, to say, I'm going to shoot a whole short film. And they're like, okay, how? But if you see these small segments, how? It's doable. Yeah.
You know, you've got me thinking here. And this is exactly, you guys are listening in right now. This is exactly how Victoria and I have like little jam sessions when we sit down and talk about our plans and how to move forward. Maybe we take a scene or a couple of scenes and we just pull together a real sweet little pitch package using a couple of scenes from Smiling Faces, trying this method, you know? Why not?
For sure, which I know we kind of half spoke about this off pod, but there's so many production creatives who want to be doing stuff. I mean, I've heard that, you know, things are starting to pick back up now for sure. And I will say this friend gave me really good insight because he's been like born and raised in this industry for so much of his life. He's been in it for over a decade. And he gave me interesting perspective on it. One, they all want to be creative. So he and some friends are putting together a group to just film stuff on the weekends. And he's like, if you ever want to shoot anything. And I was like, say less. I always do. So they're down. But he gave me an interesting perspective about kind of what we talked about in other episodes, how the industry is going to other cities and how, yes, they can build those buildings in Albuquerque and, you know, in Canada and I don't know, wherever else. He goes, but the tax incentive has to get pushed through and it needs to be higher here in California because the talent pool is much stronger here because you've got people that have been born into the industry. Like you've got generations of grips, generations of gaffers here in California. So it makes sense to keep it here. So yeah, you can build the buildings and the studios, but you don't have the workforce with this level of skill. You have to build up that skill set there.
Well, and I think that kind of lends perfectly to what I definitely wanted to touch on today is community. Anytime that I meet somebody who is an actor or in the industry or wants to make content, and they ask, should I move to Los Angeles? I always say yes, hard yes, because of exactly what you just said. How would you have ever met this person that you've known for 10 years who grew up in this industry unless you were here where all these people are? I have a huge community of beautiful people that have all worked on film or they have family members that have worked on film and television, and they know what they're doing. And when you know what you're doing enough and you love doing it enough and you keep safety at the forefront, you can pull people together and make something every Saturday. You can pull people together and do a 48-hour film festival shoot because of my community that I have here, because of what I've built here. And that's what we're doing. We're building our own community with Smiling Faces. We're building these people to be a group that lifts up something they believe in, which of course is, you know, when you're cheated on or when you're hurting or when you're in pain, that there are alternative sources outside of just like live, laugh, love, you know, like revenge doesn't always have to be this violent, you know, illegal action. It can also just be something that you do for yourself to help heal, you know, the anger, the screaming, the rage, all of that. We're all about that over here. And that's the kind of community we're looking for, are people who believe in that and want to hold that up. That's what the whole show's about.
Definitely. Because there's so many people that, one, have this experience and have stories to tell about it. I mean, we'll be eventually recording a story that was submitted to us about an odd date that someone had. I think if you have a pulse, you've probably got a weird date story, someone who cheated, something crazy has happened. If you're out there loose in the world trying to date, something odd has probably happened to you. So we're just trying to connect with everybody that experiences that. And let's all have a little powwow and share about it. Because every time I tell stories of weird dates, people are like, oh my gosh, wait, get this one. There's always a space for that. And we want to be a part of that. We want you to join us.
Bad dates is a great way to come together. It's just like wanting to film projects is a great way to bring people together. Bad dating is a great way to bring people together. And side note, it's not just bad dates that women are having with men. It's bad dates that men are having with women, that men are having with men, that women are having with women, that everybody's having with everybody. Yeah.
I've heard some people, wild queer dates, some dates that my guy friends have had with women. Man, people out here are cray.
Oh, I don't know if I've ever told this story. I went on a date once with someone who, I do not enjoy horror, as Victoria will tell you. I do not like horror. I don't like scary. I'm not into monster movies. That is not my genre. I don't like it. And my date, after I had proclaimed this, was like, let me take you to this house filled with horror paraphernalia and also sometimes used as a porn house. And we're going to go to a party on a date. It was casual. Not great. It was so bad.
What a mix of horror and porn house. But also, if you watch enough kind of B horror movies, those two have a lot of crossover.
easy crossover. Yeah. Horror and porn, easy crossover. Bodily fluids, humans behaving poorly.
Yes. Like the movie inside of a movie I just saw, I kid you not. There's a dude that I know that was in a short film or a short play festival with. I act with him once a year. And he posted, I know two guys, they're in, quote, bad movies. He's in a movie inside of a movie for Ginger Dead Man 2. And it gives softcore porn so much. He shared the clip and I was like, what's this now? So there's that. And I know a dude that's in, I met him, I think twice now. He's in the movie Velocipastor.
Wait, so Ginger Dead Man, Ginger Dead Man is inspired. What a great name.
Yeah, I watched the first one for a different podcast I used to have talking about bad movies. That one starred Gary Busey. But the second one I've not seen yet. I forgot. They have, I think, six of these Ginger Dead Man movies. But a guy I know is in the second one.
Like, I hate horror, so I don't want to watch it, but I
You won't be scared.
I love it. I love it so much.
It's a literal cookie killing people. You won't be scared.
But I love cookies.
Do you like cookie with a little vengeance? I love
What's funny about this is that I did one weekend very early in my time here in LA. I worked on an independent film as the sound guy. Not sure how that worked out, but cool. And it was a little horror film from, Jess knows Greenberry.
Oh, Greenberry Lucas?
Yeah, they were shooting a horror film. They asked me to come help with sound. And so I was the boom guy for this very interesting horror film that they filmed on the weekend.
What was the plot of the horror movie?
What do I remember? It was like this girl who hunts dudes, and she's like I don't know if she's a vampire or a werewolf. And basically she goes out and the dude thinks he's going to take advantage of the girl, but the girl basically takes him to her place, and it's just basically this killing dungeon or something. It's the craziest thing. And her friend Kirsten
Kirsten Porter.
Plays this like priest who's like hunting the girl. It was the craziest thing, and it was the weirdest thing. It was very early in my time here in LA, and I was like, oh, this is how independent films get done, huh? Like, all of us crammed into this apartment, which was Greenberry's, right? And we're just shooting it, fake blood, like the whole nine. At one point, there was like fake penis running. Like, it was a crazy weekend. I'm going to tell you this right now.
Horror and porn crossover.
So much crossover. It's also very fascinating to me how, like, horror movies technically can have so much going on with them. So like you said, there were werewolves and vampires and fake blood. And I think they get perceived as being these cheap, low budget shoots. You don't just happen upon props for fake blood and have werewolves and stuff. That requires masks and makeup and all this kind of stuff. That's not cheap. I feel like it gets a bad rap.
Oh yeah. It's so expensive and time consuming to make craft those kinds of like monster looks or bloody, gory body horror, all that stuff. It takes a lot of time and energy. Although maybe things are changing now with AI. However, I have to say, I have to make a plug for Greenberry and Kristen because they have a sex positive podcast. It's called Adult Buddy Finder, and it's all about helping. I shouldn't say exactly. This is one area that they cover is they help men who are just looking to find like a buddy to hook up with. You know, when you're texting with somebody and it's way too soon and they're like, want to come over and have sex with me. And you're like, oh, wow, that's not what I'm looking for at all. They work with these men to help them find sex partners for the men that don't want to make commitments. And it's so beautiful because they call it Adult Buddy Finder.
It's a weird podcast. I worked on their podcast. Did you? Of course. Whoa. I did. Like I worked on their podcast and I heard some crazy stories on the podcast. So it was crazy. Very interesting to work on that. But, you know, You need podcasts for everybody. There's something for everybody out there.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got a song on their heart.
They had some really interesting people on. And they're just hilarious and delightful and talented. I try to go see them. You know, you have your friends that are really, really talented and you go see their work just no matter what it is. And they're always doing something weird. And I'm constantly going and checking it out. I love watching them
Greenberry
work.
Greenberry was just on Matlock.
Yeah, she was. Ooh.
She was just on Matlock, the new one with Kathy Bates, which I don't really like, but I watched because of Greenberry. Because I'm a fan of the original Matlock. Let's not get started on.
I was going to say the Golden Globes and the SAG Awards disagree.
Kathy Bates is a hero.
Listen, they can be wrong. We know this.
Who?
Kathy Bates is an American treasure, Mike Bryant. What are you saying?
I have no doubt that Kathy Bates is an American treasure. But her doing Matlock, the way that show is done, is a travesty to the original Matlock. Shout out to Andy Griffith.
Always shout out to Andy Griffith. Love Andy Griffith. Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, I guess I'll have to plug into that. I learned something new from you today, Mike, which is that you're a Kathy Bates hater, and I don't know how long we can stay friends.
Wow. No, I'm not a Kathy Bates. I love Disclosure. Disclosure was great.
Wait, you're not saying disjointed, not are you?
Well, no.
Because I hated that.
Breaks Scott Conn's Misery. Misery was great. Was she breaking his ankles with the block?
Yes. Okay. Because Misery, fantastic. I thought you were saying disjointed. And I was about to say, that's the one thing that she's been in that I was like, burn that whole project to the ground.
No.
I did not like it.
The other one is
It wasn't good. It was a multicam.
I didn't hear about that. No wonder if it was that bad. No,
it had a lot of laugh tracks.
Oh. That sucks. Didn't she do a movie with Jack Nicholson where she's like in the hot tub and she's topless?
Did she?
Get it, girl. I want to know.
I feel like she did. Listen, I got a thing for older women like Helen Mirren.
Ooh.
Wait, really?
I talked about it on my other podcast where it was about movies. And we were talking about older actresses. Jamie Lee Curtis, Helen Mirren. Viola Davis, who's the queen. Don't ever forget that.
No, hands down. Support that.
Now, this is tough Google search, but I did put into my phone Kathy Bates topless. It looks like
you're
she has
the
a
algorithm.
Scene. Totally. Seems like she has a scene where her breast and butt are shown and at play in the fields of the Lord. Does that ring a bell?
I don't know. Maybe. I thought it was a hot tub scene, but maybe not.
And then she was in a movie called About Schmidt Nude.
That's the one right there with with Nicholas
Jack Nicholson.
Nicholas Cage.
Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson.
Oh, I thought Nicholas Cage. Can I tell you about Schmidt? Is the first movie I ever fell asleep in at the movie theater. There were many after that, but I definitely fell asleep during About Schmidt. Like the whole movie. 3 minutes in. Snooze fest. Didn't wake up until like deep into the credits.
Not during that hot tub scene, right? You would sleep the whole.
I missed the whole movie. Cool.
Just
no
me.
Idea
you
what it's
what?
About.
I'm gonna mute myself now.
Ooh, okay. Wait, this is fun. I can remember strongly. I think three movies that I've slept in the theater through. One was one of the Star Wars movies. I remember I pissed off my ex because I slept through the whole thing. And then I woke
that
up.
That is a pissed off ground. Yes.
Yeah.
Sleeping during Star Wars. Dangerous. What is wrong with you?
They're not really dangerous. My jam. But I remember I woke up and he got mad because I saw the credits and was like, oh shit, James Earl Jones was in this one? And he was like, don't speak.
Stop. Yes. That's exactly the response. I'd be like, we're done now.
You know
we're
what, though? Done. Shame on him for taking you to a Star Wars movie.
He took me to
a midnight
screening.
I wouldn't have taken
screening.
You to a Star Wars movie.
Thank you. A midnight screening of a movie franchise I don't care about. He should have known. So that's on him. No. The second one was that really long Robert Pattinson Batman movie. I kept falling asleep. Yes. I kept falling asleep and waking up being like, why is Gotham still on fire? Every time I woke back up, Gotham was still on fire.
Gotham is always on fire. If you're a nerd like me, you would know that.
Well, they should give up on Gotham.
But I will tell you this. Let me tell you this. We're not giving up on Rob Pattinson. And I did not like him when he was younger, but the older he gets, the hotter he gets. I'm just putting that out there. It's check it out. You'll see. Watch some young, then watch some old. He's really aging well.
I have thoughts, but I'm not going to say them.
No.
I don't find him. I don't know. He's not my speed. I don't find him attractive, but that's me.
That's right.
I'll tell you off the pod how I feel about him.
We got to figure out types. Here's the thing.
I don't have one technically. I'm all over the place.
You don't have a type?
No, I'm all. Mm-hmm. Proof of it is, just as well as laughing at before we started recording, out of nowhere, my friend texted me an image. I don't know if you can see this. Yeah, you can't see. She made a graphic of all of her single straight male friends titled Eligible Bachelors and said, I present to you my pride and joy. See anything you like.
Who said this to you?
My friend Tess on Right Answers Mostly podcast.
What is happening?
No.
What a hero.
I know.
What a hero.
I was like, oh, thank you.
Hey, do a girl a favor. Forward that over. Let me take a little stab at that.
I'll let you get eyes on it. We've got a nice...
Let's get some eyes.
There's an age range from 30 to 50. We got a nice little pocket there.
Ooh, 30 to 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Tess. She knows what she's talking about. Okay.
Tess knows.
Send it over.
Yeah,
this is,
we'll do.
Let me tell you, I feel like
I need to see the picture though. Can you send the picture over? Send the picture over.
Yeah. Send it in the group chat. I have three dear, close, loving bestie gal pals that I've known for 15 years. And after my last dating debacle, where they just shook their head in, you know, because your girlfriends love you and they just shake their fists and their heads at you when you make poor life choices. And I said, okay, do better. Find me someone. And all three of them, not a single one of them could come up with a single man. Not a single one of them. I was like, find me someone. You could do better. You have better taste. You're going to look down your nose at me about this. They weren't looking down. They only love me. They love me fiercely. But I said, find me one. Otherwise, I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear it.
Right.
Hunt.
That's the thing. Because after a while, you're just going, I don't think, I want to keep believing, but there's moments where I talk to guys and I'm like, I don't know if there's anyone left. I want to believe it, but every time I feel like I keep picking up strays and it's not going well.
I swear to God. This is a gorgeous collage. I'm here for it.
We're gonna talk about this collage and we're gonna talk about these fine young gentlemen that have been put on the market like pieces of meat. I almost feel offended for them, but I have thoughts.
No, this is lovely. Not pieces of meat. Listen.
Because I've met some of them. So it's not like I've never seen these people before.
They should be so lucky.
But you've never thought about them. So.
No, that's not true.
We're definitely going to have to talk about this after the pod.
No, everybody wants to know now. I just showed the picture and now I realize, wait, there are names attached. We may have to.
Yeah, I was like, we'll probably have to like clip this.
You know what though? Not to full circle this, but this is what I'm talking about. When you need, your community is there. And if you think about the things you need, then you surround yourself with that community. I had a very serious conversation with those gal pals I'm telling you about now, who I am so grateful and so blessed to be in this just quadruple love fest with these gals. And there was a group conversation where one of them was asking the other one, oh, if it's not too much trouble, do you think you could help me with fill in the blank with her area of expertise? And I have gone to her several times and been like, you got to talk me through how to do this. Like it's, you know, editing and whatnot and all the Adobe Suite stuff. So when I heard my other friend go, oh, do you think that you could help me with this? I don't want to bother you. I was like, what are you talking about? That is what we are here for. Why do we have this community if you are not taking advantage of the decades of knowledge that the people I've surrounded myself with have? I am leaning hard on those people. I am calling. I am texting. Mike knows. I was like, Mike, how do we make our podcast work? Victoria knows. I'm like, Victoria, how do I do anything in life? Help. I need my community. I need my people. I feel like every time that there's a problem that I don't know how to solve, I sit here and I think about it by myself for a minute. I'll usually do some writing about it to figure out like what, you know, put words on paper, make maps, whatnot. And if I still can't figure out a solution and Google and Alexa and AI don't have an answer, I'm picking up the phone and I'm saying, hey, Dad, I accidentally broke the aerator off of my faucet. Do you think that I have the capabilities of replacing an entire faucet? It turns out I don't.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. I was going to say, I'm like, what did he say? Because I know he my said, limitations.
Sure. Yeah. He said, sure, I think you could do it. And when he said that, I thought, who else do I know that's, because my dad doesn't live here. Who else do I know that might be able to actually do this? Call up my buddy Chris, friend of the podcast. Look, I can do it. Do I have the time?
Yeah, I believe.
Oh, no.
Anybody can do anything with YouTube in a community. Oh, Russell does. Yes. Russell keeps you honest. Yep.
Yeah, he does. There's no way. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no way that I could say, hey, Russ, my sink is looking a little sus. Do you think I can handle this? He's like, if you don't hire someone.
That's what my mom would say. It's probably what Lucy would tell me, actually.
It wouldn't even be a question.
I will have to say, you guys know I'm a big time DIYer. Like, if there's something that can be done, I'm like, F it, I'll do it myself. I built a garden. I put up a shed. I moved myself across the country. I will, if it's to be built, I will figure out a way to do it. Oftentimes, though, it's leaning on the people around me. When I was making my web series that eventually turned into a 6-part episodic piece of work, I leaned on my entire community in Denver when I lived out there. They brought the camera equipment. They provided location, catering, producing assistance, cast. These are people I worked with. These are all of the people that I knew and loved, which is something I think is so important to build. It's not just building a community of, oh, I know this person, how can I use them? It's building a foundation with that person, knowing that they can lean on you, knowing that you can lean on them. It's a give and take, right? And that's what makes living in Los Angeles so fantastic, especially if you're in this industry and you want to build something. Mike and I, you know, I basically wrapped my arms around Mike and was like, you're in the circle. Come hither, when I hired him. And he was a referral. Everybody that I work with is either a referral of somebody I know or comes highly recommended by people, which is a referral. I'm just repeating myself. That's, well, I mean, especially that's how, about.
Yeah, entertainment for sure is definitely like that. I mean, most of the people that I brought on when I was looking for PAs and stuff were people either that someone vetted and said, hey, this person's awesome, or it was a conversation with them and I realized that they didn't suck. Because that's really the most that you need, especially I think with entertainment and PAs. Obviously, if it's higher positions, you want somebody that's really highly skilled and yada, yada. But for the most part, you just want people that aren't going to suck because you spend so much time with them and you want a good attitude around you because you're on set for so long. I think those are the big pieces.
It's a yes, we can do that attitude. Even if, I should say this, it's a yes, we can do that, unless it's, listen, I'm telling you, we really can't. That's the kind of people that you want to have around you. I want somebody who's going to go through every single option when I say, I really want to get this shot.
Go get a cake?
Sunset.
How about that? Well, can we use that example? How about
yes,
go get a cake?
It must be the cake.
What?
Oh,
you don't know about the cake story. Real quick. Jess and I are working on a shoot for like this show for Hulu. And it's like a 2-week shoot. And she wants to get a wrap cake, right? But I don't know why we waited till the last minute to get a wrap cake. It doesn't matter. So
it was a request from the producer. It, not just me. I wasn't just like, I want cake. The executive producer wanted a cake.
I'm feeling buttercream in 2 weeks. Go.
I want to.
You know who, you know what?
With Chantilly frosting.
Fault, and I'm going to blame it on James. First of all.
Not an
blame it on James. And I'm going to tell that to his face the next time I see him.
Do it.
Anyway.
Do it.
She goes, we need a cake. First of all, you sent the guy who knows nothing, very little about Los Angeles at this point, to go find a cake. So I go out. I go to like two different grocery stores. I finally go to a Ralph's. And I see a cake. I take pictures. First of all, there's no internet connection inside this grocery store. So I'm trying to talk to Jess. So every time I have to talk to her, I have to go outside the grocery store and come back in. So then when I finally pick a cake, she's like, yeah, that cake works. Da 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 da. Then she's like, can we put something on it? And I have to go find someone to write on this cake. Now the baker, the people who write on the cake aren't there. So I get some girl who's, I don't know, is an assistant. I don't know what it is. I was like, can you... I forget what it was. Put something on the cake. And she's like, I don't really do this, but I'll try. And I'm like, at this point, because I'm just trying to get the job done. I go, yeah, sure. So she goes back there. She's back there for like 5 minutes. She comes out and presents me with this cake. And the writing is horrible. And I look at this cake and I can't
tell
this girl.
As soon as she said, I'll try, I knew.
She did.
Look, and in her defense and in Mike's defense, the request was congratulations to the cast and crew of Dot and Bree, right? What, make TV or something like that.
Yeah, something like
Dot
that.
And Bree Love TV. It was a huge, it was like a massive journal of writing on this cake.
And so it's slanted into the outside icing of this cake. And I look at this cake.
We'll post a picture.
Yeah. And I look at this cake and I go, Jess is going to hate this cake. But there's no other place to find a cake, right? So I take this cake, put it in the car, drive back to set, and I walk in with this cake, right? And immediately Jess looks at it and starts laughing. I was like, this shit is not funny. The things that I have gone through to find this cake, right? So then she proceeds to tell James, like our friend Willow is there, and Willow looks at it and she goes, oh, we got to show James. I'm like, he's the guy that wanted the cake. He's not going to be happy that this cake looks like this, right? He looks at it, immediately starts laughing. And I was like, I'm glad everyone thinks this is funny because I'm stressing about this cake, right? So then we finally get the cake. I bring it into the kitchen and I realize as I'm putting the cake on the cake on the counter, there's another cake here. And I said, I open the box and I go and I look at the thing and I go, where the fuck did this cake come from? And I'm looking around at everybody. And the person who got it was like, oh, I just called around and found it. And I immediately looked at Jess and I said, why did I have this cake? Who's going to eat my cake when this cake is here?
Who's going to eat my handwritten cake?
Hold up. There's some things that I think the public deserves to know. One,
sure, tell them.
The best part of this story, the best part of this story is the first PA that I sent out to get a cake went to one store, walked around with his hands in the air and was like, I don't know where a cake is. Came back and was like, I can't find a cake. I'm like, why did I send that one? I turned to Mike, who I can rely on, and said, Mike, I need a cake. And what does this man say? You got it. I will climb to the top of Mount Everest to get you a cake. That is the yes that you are looking for. That is you will have a cake.
Here's some inside baseball. This is why I had no idea where I was going to get cake from. Just to let you, when I said it, I didn't believe the words that were coming out of my mouth.
Like, you
but
got
this
it,
is,
dude.
I'll tell you, up one side and down the other. When he said that to me, I was like, this is why I hire this man for everything. Because he knew he was going to figure out a way. And here's the best part, I think, of this whole story is that what I didn't know about Mike is that Mike hates grocery stores. Hates.
Oh.
I definitely hate when grocery I stores. Told she remembers that fact about me.
When I told his wife this story, she was like, what you don't know about Mike is that Mike hates grocery stores and was back and forth and back and forth. Now, here's the other thing. So Mike goes on a hunt for a cake. Now, we needed more cake. We weren't going to have enough cake because when Mike sent me the picture of the cake, I said, that's the cake, but I knew it wasn't going to be enough for the whole crew. So I turned to my other PA who I love working with, who I don't hire as often as Mike because that PA almost always says yes, but is usually like grumbling about it. But I love that PA anyways. Anyhow, so I say, Sophie, can just call around and see what you can find. First phone call Sophie made, immediately found a cake. They delivered it. It was a cheap cake. It was so, and it was gorgeous.
Oh no.
And here's the other side.
Time out. They delivered the cake?
I think they delivered it.
I didn't know they delivered the cake, Jess.
I think they delivered it. Well, in everybody's defense, I called that place first, like hours before, and they didn't answer. So I was like, that place is a bust. And so it's just timing that Sophie found this cake. Anyway, this is how a community is built, because from day one, and I hired Mike on several jobs, and I referred Mike to probably a dozen different jobs off and on that I was on or not on. This is how it works. These are the people that you surround yourself with.
Definitely. Also, I have a pitch now, since we're talking about great PA stories. I have a pitch for the next episode. We tell our worst PA stories, but obviously without names.
Of course. Some great ones.
I got
some. That's going to get messy. It can get a little messy.
It's a love letter to PAs, because the ones who are good, if you know, you know, you know.
Right. Sneak preview for one. One only worked for a day, then couldn't work anymore, and then ran into him, and he aggressively hit on me.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
He's like, well, since you're not my boss anymore.
Would you like to get dinner? Hey. But he was on a PA salary, so he's like, would you like to get Del Taco?
Right. I was like, walk away.
Walk, sir, please.
Oh, we drank like so much tequila after that day. Remember that?
You and I did?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it was on my... Oh, because it was on my birthday. I remember that now. It was on my birthday. And I snuck away for a second to go to see a comedy show, because I was like, I'm going to have a moment for myself. And I left set and went to a comedy show and came back.
I remember it beautifully. And that is set life. I'll tell you what. That is drinking bottles of wine on the back of a camera truck. Because
always the best.
Fun fact. Something that I learned while working in production is you never want to be caught on the back of a grip truck. You can be caught on the back of a camera truck, but you never want to be caught on the back of a grip truck.
Yeah. Although they party.
They party. They party hard.
Yeah.
Those are beautiful times. Good days. Well, I know that Mike had, I would call that your smiling faces moment of your life when you came back with that cake. Because on top of it all, Mike had missed lunch, so he was hungry.
Oh no!
He'd been hunting for the stupid cake, and it was. We will post a picture. The cake is, it's purple. It's hilarious. It's a great cake. Yeah, listen, it's great. I think that shows Mike's dedication so hardcore. I was like, I'll fuck with you all day long, sir.
Gorgeous.
Speaking gorgeous. Of. Smiling faces moments. I think it's time for us to get to our favorite segment, which is our smiling faces moment of the week. What have you grinned and bared it through this week, Victoria?
Woo. This week I had a run-in with a plant. So I essentially overwatered a plant that turns out means a lot to our boss in the office. And from too much water, it started to wilt. And now this technically, whatever. I started course correcting. I read up. I realized, oh, too much water. I then put it out, got it some sun, doing all the things. But apparently she came in over the weekend before my full master plan of course correct could happen, saw the state of this plant that she has an emotional connection to, that she believes directly correlates to the success of the company, and had a panic. And was I had three separate conversations about the state of this plant. And I had to act like this was a normal thing that I should be conversing about. That the success of this plant, ergo, means the success of the company. And don't worry, I'm on it.
I will save this plant with every fiber of my being. I've downloaded the apps. Mm-hmm. I've taken the pictures. Sort of I've sent it to the plant doctor.
Yep, I took the photos. I'm doing all the TLC. I'm going to be drilling drainage holes because in my defense, I said it needed that when I first started working there.
Yes.
It needed drainage holes. So it's not fully
on
me.
Every plant needs drainage.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how this grown-ass person has an emotional attachment to a plant?
Yeah, I was told that they lost sleep over the weekend.
I can't wait to be that ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
I know. I aspire to that level of cray. Like, I want somebody being like, no. But like, could you imagine? Like, because I feel like that's a level where people are, especially, I mean, everyone expects it now at this point. So it's kind of understood that this is very important. So I think once you get a baseline of that level for people, yeah, it's kind of fascinating, I gotta say, to reach that level of cray where it's just understood. Everyone's like, yep, the plant means
a
lot.
Plant.
We have to resuscitate all amounts of dollars that we have sent towards resuscitating the plant to full growth.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I grin and bared it through, my own little office space movie life.
Your own red stapler.
Totally.
What kind of plant is it?
It's a Chinese money plant.
Oh, gosh. Those are fickle. They'll just turn on you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Come on, bro.
Very fickle. It's like, look, I'm as woo-woo as the next girl. I got my crystals on my windowsill.
Yeah.
Like, I've got my incense. I smudge my vagina. Like, listen, I get it.
Yeah, you do.
But come on.
What about you, Mike? You got any smiling faces moments for the week?
I'm staying in a hotel because my whole
I am living
the embodiment of grinning and bearing it at this point.
Oh,
I'm in a hotel room with Freya, my boxer, Odin, my cat, who I love, hate, depending on the day or week or hour or minute. Mm-hmm. And then I have my beautiful, beautiful wife.
Oh,
so, gorgeous. And there's the anchor.
Living it.
What about you, Jess?
I can say this. My smiling faces moment happened 2 days ago. I had to take some pictures during a FaceTime call. Someone was showing me a setup at a toy fair that our team was attending. And it was mid-setup. So it was a little wonky. And it was my responsibility to make sure that we had everything we needed. So in the photos, I had to take some screen grabs while I was FaceTiming. So my face is in these screen grabs that eventually ended up being sent to the vice president. Not of the United States, just of the company. And I kid you not, my face is doing this.
And those are the most flattering photos.
Oh, beautiful.
The only way he's going to recognize her now.
Right.
Oh, Jess? Yeah.
Jess.
You're like, I know you. Can you
contort your face real fast? Oh, my gosh. There you are.
That is you.
I was mortified. My only redeeming moment, my boss was on the text where I was sending it. And she was like, why did you send those? And I said, because he needed them right away. She's like, you should have cropped them. She's like, you look ridiculous. And she was laughing. We were all laughing. Aww. The only piece in my heart about it is that he responds after looking at them. He responds and says, these pictures are cracking me up because I'm making the exact same face that Jess is in the photos while looking at them. So I was not in the wrong.
There we go. See, they were mirroring you.
Mortification head to toe, smiled and grinned through it all. Don't worry, we will not be posting those on our social media. But if you do love social media, please follow us. Send a follow. If you're already following us, share with your friends and family. Tell them how much fun you have listening to our podcast.
Yep.
You can find us on Instagram at smilingfaces_series. You can find us on TikTok at smilingfaces_series. You can find us on Facebook for all of you folks who are of nostalgia at smilingfaces_series, no underscore. And you can find us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@@smilingfaces_series.
We also have an official website, www.smilingfacesseries.com. Shout out to our fiscal sponsor, Inclusivity Media. And of course, our producer, Mike Bryant and Defiantly Me Productions.
We raised the roof for you, Mike Bryant. We raised the roof.
Should we just... Why do we both get so quiet?
You good. Do
it. Well, this has been a blast. Hey, y'all, go ahead and give us a listen. Like, share, subscribe, do all the things that we told you about. And tune in next Friday. We're here every Friday. We love you guys.
Peace out.